for WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Wednesday, March 4th, 2015.
From our perspective, community policing doesn't mean anything unless communities are actually decision makers.
Darius Charney, staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights, at a city council hearing on community police relations on Tuesday. Charney is lead counsel on Floyd versus City of New York, which, as WBAI listeners know well, was a federal civil rights class action lawsuit. It challenged discriminatory stop and frisk practices by the NYPD. The court found the practice unconstitutional. It ordered a joint remediation process.
It's a process that's structured to gather the input of a variety of stakeholders on the issue. First and foremost, those communities that have been most heavily impacted by the abuses that the court found. And there is actually, the judge has not only appointed a monitor, but she has appointed what is called a facilitator to kind of oversee this process. He's going to probably in the next few months start holding some town hall meetings. But that's kind of just the tip of the iceberg. The goal of the process, from our perspective, is to really create a structure that allows for impacted communities, really for the first time, to have meaningful input and to put forth ideas about how to change the policing practices that have violated their rights for many years, and to have that input then incorporated into a real concrete proposal that would be submitted to the court and then ordered in terms of actual reforms that the police department would have to implement.
Charney says the Center for Constitutional Rights sees this as a crucial aspect of community policing moving forward.
The city's answer was very disrespectful to my son, Tamir.
In Cleveland, Ohio, Samaria Rice, the mother of Tamir Rice, spoke to reporters.
I have not received an apology from the police department or the city of Cleveland in regards to the killing of my son.
The 12-year-old was shot in a public playground by police less than 1 minute after their cruiser pulled up to the park. The youth was holding a pellet gun. In response to a wrongful death suit, the city of Cleveland blamed the boy for his own death. On Monday, in response to an outcry from community members, Mayor Frank Jackson apologized for wording in a court document in which the city said the boy died as a result of his own actions. But Samaria Rice is still waiting for an apology for the shooting of her son and a course of action to remedy situations like the one which killed her boy. There is racial bias in the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department. It's official. That's the findings of the Justice Department in a report issued today. The investigation grew out of a shooting of the 18-year-old boy, Mike Brown, the unarmed black teen gunned down by white police officer Darren Wilson on August 9, 2014. The shooting sparked national protests, and Wilson was not indicted in the death of the young man. Analysis of more than 35,000 pages of police records found racist comments from officers. They also found statistics which showed African Americans make up 93% of arrests. They account for only 67% of the population in Ferguson. The report chronicles discriminatory practices across the city's criminal justice system, which failed to indict the officer who shot Mike Brown. It details problems from initial encounters with patrol officers to treatment in the municipal court and jail. Ben Crump, the attorney for the Brown family, said if the report about the findings are true, they confirm what Mike Brown's family has believed all along, that the tragic killing of an unarmed 18-year-old black teenager was part of a systemic pattern of inappropriate policing of African-American citizens in the Ferguson community. In Washington, Congress is sending President Barack Obama a bill to fund the Department of Homeland Security through the end of the budget year. This is without overturning the president's immigration policies. The House on Tuesday voted 257 to 167 for the measure that Obama is expected to sign. The outcome was a victory for Obama and Democrats. It was a defeat for the GOP strategy of trying to overturn Obama's executive actions on immigration by linking them to funding for Homeland Security.
Iran's nuclear program can be rolled back well beyond the current proposal by insisting on a better deal and keeping up the pressure.
Yesterday, demonstrators on Capitol Hill protested Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech to Congress. Richard Barr has more.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu got numerous standing ovations from Congress yesterday as he spoke against the deal the Obama administration is trying to negotiate with Iran over that country's nuclear enrichment. Protesters in the streets of Washington were less impressed by his arguments, to say the least.
Bader, Bader, what a bar! Sneaking TV in the back door!
Early in the morning, demonstrators organized by the International Action Center assembled outside the House of Representatives building where Speaker John Boehner has his office. It was Boehner who surreptitiously invited Netanyahu to come and give his speech. And then members of Code Pink followed representatives of AIPAC around, making some of them nervous. AIPAC is the right-wing lobby which is closely allied with Netanyahu and his Likud government. Finally, in the late afternoon, with a cold rain falling on the west lawn of the Capitol building, a demonstration organized by Jewish Voice for Peace featured a number of speakers, including Medea Benjamin of Code Pink and Phyllis Bennis of the Institute for Policy Studies. Benjamin took hope from the fact that the number of congresspeople boycotting the speech grew to about 60 in recent days, including progressives like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, both of whom had previously been largely silent on this issue. Interestingly, another demonstration was being held side by side with that of Jewish Voice for Peace by a group of Orthodox Jews who are anti-Zionist and don't believe that God meant for there to be a state of Israel. Although both groups come at Middle East issues from different places, some of the signs at both demos had similar messages, such as, "Netanyahu, go home," and "You don't speak for us." Richard Barr, WBAI News, New York.
Weather-wise, it's a cloudy day with a high near 41 degrees in the city. The wintry weather continues, rain, snow, and sleet tonight. And tomorrow, there's snow with temperatures around 22 degrees by 5 p.m. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.